Good morning. The Sports Machine with Slim. The listeners out there, thank you for tuning in today. So much news in the world going on. Crazy stuff going on out there. We got to talk about Shohei Ohtani today. We just do. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine last night. And, just the ridiculousness of this story demands that we cover it. I know it's been covered on every other sports talk radio station, but it will not be covered the way that we will cover it here today. Mitty is in studio with me. Radio mic number two.
Hello.
You're ready to roll. Hello, Mitty.
What's going on?
Well, a lot of things is going on. Unfortunately, yesterday, Tennessee girls basketball team lost in the round of 32. They lost to an NC State team that I thought looked pretty darn good, but I was hoping Tennessee, for a variety of reasons, would continue on in the tournament. They did not, Mitty. Did you watch any of that game?
I actually have been watching as much March Madness as I can, and it has been a wild ride so far. And I just want to throw out one thing. Some 12-seed wins from last week that we talked about. Two out of the four.
Nice work.
Yeah, not bad.
Your pick was the 12s, right? 50-50 in life. You're doing all right.
It's not who picks the better teams. It's who picks the upsets. That's who wins the money. I mean, you got to pick the upsets.
There we go. All right. So last night, speaking of upsets and upset, the Atlanta Hawks come back.
Do we have to do this?
I think we do. And the reason why it has to be done, Mitty, is just the end of the game stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, the issue is that this team does not know who's in charge. And that was very, very evident from the play that took place with about 40 seconds left when the Celtics had the ball. Did you watch a bunch of the Celtics game last night?
Of course.
You did?
Yeah.
I only watched bits and pieces. You know why? It was a blowout.
Because it was awful?
It was 51-25 with 9 minutes and 20 seconds left in the second quarter when I tuned in, and the announcers, I think it was Scal, was saying there were three players from the Celtics that had all scored 10 points or more in the first quarter, and that was the first time in forever.
It was a dominant first quarter, 44-22 at the end of the first quarter, doubling the other team's points, and it's Atlanta, which is garbage. They got a couple nice shooters on the team, but there is no excuse from them coming back from that kind of a lead. It is ridiculous and it is preposterous, and I will not have it.
Well, I don't think it's that upsetting to blow a lead
not
like
to
that.
Kristaps. Kristaps says it's totally normal.
Well, this is the thing about this team. And if you saw a tape, I will tell everybody on Twitter, I saw this video clip. Bogdan Bojanovic is the Bojanovic brother who's on Atlanta, right? He, at the end of the game, is talking to Kristaps Porzingis, or right in the midst of beginning a conversation with Kristaps, Jaylen Brown coming, walking right by, kind of in the same direction where Bogdan is. And Jaylen Brown does not, like, divert his path at all.
No yield.
Brushes shoulder into Bogdanovic and doesn't look at him.
As
just, like, steamrolls straight ahead. I'm mad. I don't like you.
Out of my way, kid.
Out of my way. And, I mean, there's two ways you can look at that, Jaylen Brown. One is, I mean, it was a rude thing to do. Now, I don't know if Bogdanovic had been, like, cheap-shotting him during the game and stuff like that, where he's like a dirty player, and then you're just going to be like, dude, I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you. Stay away from me.
Right.
And under that, I don't have any problem with Jaylen Brown's activity there.
It's a crybaby move in that case. But, I mean, the way I look at it is there is one scenario where that move is acceptable, and that's after you win. It is not after you blow the game. You know, if you're going to be a tough guy, if you're going to walk around like you own the place, you better make sure you do.
Well, this is what we talked about with the Celtics team. They all want to walk around like they own the place, especially Jason Tatum. He wants to walk around like he owns the ref's whistle. Like, Jason Tatum really shouldn't get paid $50 million a year to play basketball. He should be paid $50 million a year to ref because
he's that good.
He's so good at refing. Every call in his favor, he's 100% correct on. He should just get paid to ref. It would be awesome.
Tries to make his own calls. I mean, him and Jaylen Brown kind of do. But I will say this. I mean, Jaylen and Jason both have done a slightly better job this year of at least getting up the court instead of standing there with their hands up.
Agreed.
It's gotten better.
Baby
I wouldn't
steps.
Say they're doing well with it, because there's nothing more annoying than watching the other team score an easy basket when it's 5-on-3. I mean, it's awful.
Well, we're sitting here, and I'm complaining how annoying it is to listen to Jason Tatum annoying. I'm wondering, for people listening to the radio right now, how annoying is it for me to be complaining about Tatum complaining. That's probably like a double dog dare you type of thing, which is actually not good radio.
Yeah, like listeners are thinking, man, I'm getting tired of Jason Tatum with that attitude. And then there's other listeners going, no, I'm getting tired of the fact that the guys on the radio have to talk about his attitude, and then that has to come to me. I mean, can't we just talk about how well they're doing? You know, 9 games in a row and then another awful, awful loss, because they can't just lose. They got to lose in horrific style and go out like guns blazing, like, we're just going to look like a peewee team. But, you know, it's just hard to watch. And then both of their last big losses like this, you got Kristaps getting interviewed doing the whole, oh, no, it is very normal for this to happen. You know, it's very perfectly normal and nothing wrong with it, totally. You know, when you're playing great, you're going to have those games. It's like, yeah, but not against Atlanta.
Here the issue is again, though, it comes down to coaching and the players. The Celtics, we win the games that we're blowing teams out. Like last night, okay, they came back. They made it close. The Celtics lose. This is a definite pattern with this team.
Oh, yeah.
When a game is close, the Celtics lose. And I'm telling you right now why Jaylen Brown was so mad when he's walking off the court. He's mad because he wants to be the man. If you watch the game, even in the third and fourth quarter, when the Celts were struggling a bit, especially in the fourth, Jaylen Brown was the guy who kind of penetrated to the elbow, free throw line extended, rise up, nails a shot. He did it 2 times in the fourth quarter, going towards the basket, which is what I've been asking all the time, him and Tatum. Tatum tried to go to the hoop too, but the thing is, at the end, 40 seconds left, Jaylen Brown is out by the 3 dribbling the ball, and he's looking around, what should I do? Am I going? What am I going to do when there's 20 seconds left on the shot clock?
You pass it to Tatum.
Well, this is what Tatum has action opposite side of the court to supposed to come off to a screen to be available for the ball. He doesn't get open because Atlanta was playing lockdown defense and the refs were letting him foul, which is all totally cool. But Jaylen Brown then with 5-6 seconds left on the clock is like, what do I do? What do I do? Okay, I'm going to go in. I shoot. And he misses. And the reason why this happened like this is because the play wasn't drawn up for Jaylen Brown, and it should have been. This is a coaching issue, Mitty.
Yeah, absolutely. Missoula, I think Missoula is the biggest culprit
100%.
Of all this.
100%. If we're not going to win, it's his fault.
He's a good coach, but he is not a championship team coach. He's not Phil Jackson. You know, he's not going to stay over there and know exactly what to do and when to do it.
Because the issue is
he's got some great players that haven't been there yet either, so it's not like they know what to do.
He thinks he's a good coach. This is the same thing
he's
with
good.
Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum thinks he's a great player and deserves every whistle call. The issue with these guys is they haven't done anything.
Right.
You don't become a great player or a great coach until you win something.
Right.
And these guys expect people to hand it to them. Missoula, we lost the game last night because he does not know how to X and O at the end of a basketball game.
Right. Exactly.
You need to build the whole season. We've been talking about this for months. That's why I'm complaining, is because it's not like we just rolled out of bed today and the Celtics lost, so now we're upset. It's because we've said it all 4 months long of the Sports Machine with Slim. Joe Mazzulla, end of game situations. This team does not know who's going to be the guy with the ball, and it's been proven. Tatum ain't coming through.
Yep, and they don't have a Jordan or a LeBron James. They got a Tatum, which is a great player. I love Tatum. But the greats see something. The greats go out on the court when they need those points, and I swear to God, they must just see something in their hearts, not their brains, of just a line to take and a path to that win. Whereas really good players like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to get a little eager and say, I want to do it, I want to do it. But what it comes down to me is Jaylen Brown is good enough, but when Tatum's on the floor, it's like there's a mental tick, like he just can't quite do it. Like he wants to prove something, but Tatum's out there, so he can't.
My brother Dave has said since the beginning of the season, if the Celtics don't win at all this year, there is going to be changes in the organization, and one of those guys is going to be traded. And I'll tell you right now, if we don't win it this year, Jaylen Brown's asking out.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, I don't have insider information. I'm just telling you, this guy is looking around.
And it's a shame.
It is.
Because he's going to take the road of Terry Rozier and end up on some, you know, 14-win team. And he's going to be the man in a small town that's high school graduates 80 kids.
I'm not convinced of it, Mitty.
He's not a big market guy.
But the thing I'll say, though, about Jaylen Brown is if you look at what he's done since the All-Star break.
Oh, it's been amazing.
If he continues to get better, like, he's a worker. If he continues to get better,
yeah.
he is a guy that could lead a team to a championship.
So much heart in that guy.
I believe it. He doesn't complain nearly as much as Tatum does.
Right.
If put
his heart in Jason's body. Oh, my gosh.
I'm with it. I really think if I had to keep one of the two today, it's Jaylen Brown I want to keep. But that's our discussion on the Celtics for right now. We're coming back to talk Boston Bruins hockey. Thomas Poeck will be on the line. Huge game for the Bruins tonight. This is the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.
Do you need a tissue?
101.9. I'm ready to cry. 0.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Welcome back. The Sports Machine with Slim. Ian Mitty.
Hey.
And Thomas Poeck. Thomas is on the line right now. We want to get right to him. We're going to have a cluster of a show today, Thomas. We got music. We got voices all over the place. We got craziness with Ohtani. We got horrible stuff from Puff Daddy. We got
I missed this one.
The Boston Celtics collapse last night, and the Boston Bruins gearing up for, I'll say, the regular season game of the year, Thomas, is tonight against Florida.
If they're not still doing suicides.
We want to hear what your thoughts are on Jim Montgomery's discussion or comments on social media yesterday. Did you hear much about this, how he's ripping the team?
I did not.
Yeah,
I did not. So, I'm not a big social media guy, so maybe that's why I missed it.
Yeah, and you know something, Thomas? I'm so busy with other stuff that I didn't hear a bunch of this either, but Mitty has been paying attention, doing his due diligence and research for today's show. So why don't you enlighten Thomas real quick, and then we can get some of his thoughts, Mitty.
Sure. And also, good morning, Thomas. How's it going?
Good
morning. So, if you watched SportsCenter or Comcast Sportsnet last night, you would have seen Jim Montgomery pushing them through a real hard practice. Do they call it suicides when they skate down and back, or is it something different? Because they were doing that, and he was screaming at them, "Wake up, boys! Come on! Let's go!" He says, "We weren't ready to practice. We weren't here on time." What's that say?
I hated the end of the game, and then we showed up this morning, and we weren't ready to practice. He laid into them in the media yesterday, Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it. Well, you guys were saying it. Suicides, Herbies, for Herb Brooks, yeah, right? We've all heard all of them. And you know what? Sometimes that's what they need. Hey, maybe, I mean, he's there every day, right? Like, he's been successful so far with the regular season with them. So if that's what he thinks they need, then I'm sure he's on to something.
This is exactly what I think, Thomas. I'm 100% on board, and it fits right into my strategy with what I've been saying about the Bruins all year long. You had the greatest regular season of all time last year. This year, you don't care as much about the regular season if you're the coach. Like, it's already been proven. Like, we don't need to have the best record in the league. We need to be ready to go at playoff time. So I'm not going to ride my guys all season long to say, give me your best, give me your best every single day. But now, you're heading into the game of the year tonight against the team that knocked you out last year, and we lost our last big game to the Rangers. It's time to go up against the best in the East and be prepared to play your best and see where we fall in, and you better show up to practice ready to go. So that's why you liked this into him yesterday. What do you think about the strategy?
100%. I mean, if you look at, obviously, Florida is in first in our Atlantic division. And it's a big one, right? There's 10 games to go. You want to go in on the high end to the playoffs and not the other way around. But with the schedule coming up, Florida tonight, and then with Tampa and Washington fighting for their life to make the playoffs, it's one of those things, right? Like, you don't want to go on a four-game losing streak here down the stretch.
Right.
So it'll be important. And tonight will be a big test. I mean, you're on the road. You know the way Florida's been playing last year in the playoffs, obviously this year in the regular season. You know they're going to be a team to reckon with, and you know you're probably going to have to go through them at some point.
You know, I'd like to ask you, when it comes down to being a hockey player, hockey coach, your national organization like that, when you're playing through the regular season, and especially if you have a team that's doing well like the Bruins, well, have been on average, but is there an art form? I mean, how hard is it? Because these listeners out here really don't know how difficult it is to win a championship in any sport, but how hard is it to balance throughout the year getting ready to possibly be a championship team and, you know, getting your rest?
Yeah, I mean, the 80 games, it's a long season. It's a long way to put yourself in position to actually have a shot. And then, I mean, you saw it last year. First round and everything's done. Nobody talks about the regular season and how we have all-time most points and wins. Like, nobody cares, ultimately. And neither do any of the guys on that team, right? You're going to be judged on how many championships you won. And, I mean, you look at the Bruins roster. They have a great team. They have a chance to do it. But there's only one guy left from the last championship team, right, in Marchand. So, you know, they're ready for another one. And it's been, what, 13 years? So, I think the city is ready for one, too.
Perfect example, like the Patriots when they had their perfect season. You don't win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter.
None of it matters. The Boston Bruins, Thomas, just so you know, the Florida Panthers, I don't know if you watched Saturday night, they lost at the New York Rangers. They played, they blew a one-goal lead. They scored with about 4 minutes left to go up. Then they gave up the game-tying goal with about 3 minutes left. Then they ended up losing in a shootout. So the Florida Panthers lost a big game on the road against the Rangers. The next game they come back, and it's last night. The night after, Sunday, they beat Philadelphia at Philly 4-1. So this is what I'm talking about with good teams. It's like, well, now we're mad. Okay, here we go. We're going to respond. So Florida's definitely going to be ready to play the Bruins tonight.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's one thing every coach that I've ever had at the higher level, that's all they ever talk about. You don't want to get on a slide. You don't want to lose 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. You can lose one. The league's way too even. There's way too many good teams. You're not going to win all of them. And, I mean, look at our stats. They've lost 16 so far in regulation. So in that case, like, they're doing well. But, you know, now we lost one. Now we go against Florida. You don't want this to go the other way with 10 games to go. And they're going to be a good team. Beyond the roads, it's going to be a tough game for them.
What if the Bruins win tonight, Thomas? I'm just wondering, I know you're not a social media guy, but I'm just wondering, what are the people on social media tomorrow going to be saying when the Bruins go out tonight and win? Because I'm calling for it. I'm just calling my prediction. I'm saying the Boston Bruins beat Florida tonight, and everybody on social media tomorrow is going to be like,
they're back.
I guess I was wrong. Yeah, now we're back. Oh, I love Jim Montgomery. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why people would think there's any reason to worry. Let's see what happens tonight, and when we beat Florida, everybody will be all excited again.
Fair weather fans.
Oh, I think they're going to be all right. I mean, we know they're going to make the playoffs. Question here is just, I mean, if you look at that, right, there's 10 games for us, 12 for the Leafs. We're 8 points ahead of them. Unless everything goes wrong, we're going to be at least in second place. But now the question there is, it's like, you want to secure home ice. Like, the Bruins are in the perfect spot to still finish first in the Eastern Conference. I think that should be obviously still the goal. It's not the most important thing. But as I said, you want to have a good feeling going into the playoffs,
right?
There's 10 games to go. You want to win, I'm going to say, 70-80% of them. Like, you don't want to go out 50-50 for the last 10 games. It's just not a good feeling in the room. It's not a good feeling for anybody. So in that case, you know, obviously, people are going to come out and they're going to raise, like, the whole backskate and going after the players as a coach. It works every now and then. If they're doing it too often, it kind of falls on their ears with the players. But he hasn't done it in 2 years, so, you know, and he hasn't had to, because they're always doing great. So now I'm sure he's just getting them ready, and I'm sure they're going to respond just fine.
Yeah. They've seen what they can do when they go into the playoffs with momentum and they're on top. Maybe they're just trying something new.
There you go. Thomas, I got a question for you just from an X's and O's standpoint tonight. I've been watching a ton of hockey this year. I will say one play the Bruins do not want to be doing tonight, and they have against the not-so-good teams, is when we have the puck in our own end, a lot of times we'll try and, like, bounce it off of the boards up around mid-ice to catch somebody on the run and allow it to, like, you know, bounce off of the boards as a pass to the person that's heading towards a fast break, is what I would call it in basketball. But I will just tell you, the Rangers and Florida, they don't allow that pass to get through. They get over to the boards, and they intercept that pass. They did it to us in the playoffs last year, and they're going to do it again tonight. And you just cannot turn the puck over so easily. The Bruins need to make that adjustment in their game against these high-quality teams. Is that something they're able to do, like, or is that just built in that they're just used to doing it, so they always have to do it now?
Well, I think a lot of the teams, especially when you get this time of the year playing against the top teams, you have to use the boards because they're so organized in the neutral zone and the offensive zone that they're not going to give you any straight up passes up the middle. But you're right. Like, breakouts are going to be a huge thing. If your breakouts are crisp and you're coming out of your own end fast and getting to go in a neutral zone, offensive zone, what chances you got to have a couple opportunities down there? And if you turn it over in your own end, you're giving them momentum to score some goals. And yeah, I mean, Florida is a very organized team. We saw it last year in the playoffs. They believe in themselves. They're obviously at the top of the list right now in the East, obviously in our Atlantic division. So, you know, they're confident. They're ready to go. They're not going to have the Bruins come in. And I think that's going to be their big thing. This is their home. That's the way they're going to look at it. They go, we're going to see the Bruins down the line. Want to make sure they know when they come in here, it's going to be a hard game.
Right on, Thomas. We're ready for a battle tonight. Thank you for calling the show. I'm just telling everybody, do not give them the puck. Bruins need to be able to control the puck in their own end and advance it out. Don't turn it over. That's what to watch for tonight. We'll see how the game goes. This is the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Telling me how to open up the segment here, and I'm listening and I'm thinking, I want to give you listeners a good time out there, baby. Thank you everyone for listening to the Sports Machine with Slim, and thank you Mitty for all your support and what you have done here to really just say encourage
me. I believe in the product, man. I believe in the product. I've listened to you at home and I like the show, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be, you know, part of something awesome.
There you go. I believe you're getting awesomeness
and
out there,
Boston
people.
Sports, man. I love talking Boston sports. So it's so, so nice that I actually have people that can listen and not interrupt me because, like, we're on the radio. So that's great.
Right.
Try talking sports at work. You always got someone that's like, yeah, but did you see that? It's like, oh, gosh, I just wanted to make all the points. Come on.
Well, if you listen to competitive sports talk radio shows out there right now, they want to spend the whole show talking about, like, the New England Patriots and their draft, and what are we going to do if we keep the pick or not? It's just, I think that conversation is such a waste of time, really.
It needs to die. You know what? Sorry, I just sparked something here. Are there any listeners out there that parents with kids that have small pets, you know, I know
let's, totally random. Random with Mitty. Go ahead.
All right, well, I was just thinking this. Yesterday, my daughter's hamster died. We had him for 3 years. His name was Oreo. Rest in peace, Oreo. He was a great, great little hamster. But he had cancer in his head. And, it, you know, it was kind of a weird thing to watch develop. But how many parents out there have had their kids lose a pet and then have to go through the rigmarole of digging a grave in the snow, making a little headstone, saying prayers? I had to print out pictures and get her a frame, and then, of course, go out and get a new hamster. Oh, now my son, Daddy, I want a hamster. And so now I got two pets after one died, and I got to deal with the daughter crying. Oh, it is the worst feeling watching them suffer like that.
Yesterday, I mean, I don't want to get too personal here, but can I ask, how did we find out that the hamster passed away?
So I was just getting out of work, and my wife texted me, Oreo's dead. For the last few weeks, we knew it was coming, because this thing growing out of his ear, just, you know, hamsters get cancer real easy. They're small, whatever. And we just figured it was coming. And then, you know, last couple of days, he's just been laying there, just shaking and not eating, and you know it's time.
Poor thing. And what the kids are watching him when he was, like, over the last couple of days
immobilized. Oh, yeah. Checking on him every day, being like, he's still here. He's still here. Last night, she was up to, like, 11 o'clock going, oh, Oreo. I'm not going to lie. I cried a little bit because not for the hamster. Although, I'll be honest with you, I actually was sadder than I expected to be, knowing it was coming, over a little hamster.
How long have you had the hamster for?
A little over 3 years. They say they live 2 to 3 years, and he was, like, 3 years and 3 months. Not bad.
So what's your fondest family memory of this Oreo character?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was actually a family pet for real. She had a little case she'd put him in, like a little carrying bag.
Take him on flights.
And she'd take him outside. She set up a little pen out in the yard, and she'd let him run around, and she'd take him to stores with her when she went shopping. It was like, wow, she actually really loved this thing.
And what about you? I mean, you had to clean the cage all these years,
nope.
I'm assuming.
Who that was the thing. We did it with them, but we made them do it because it's the whole point is the responsibility of having a pet. If you're not going to take care of it, you don't get a pet.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you really stick to this. In most households, that's the deal up front. But then eventually the kid's like, I don't want to do it. All right, fine.
But no, it's all part of the process. As a parent, you got to look at it as, you know, I'm teaching them to take care of something. You know, that gets them ready to be a parent later in life. You're teaching them that eventually things do die, things happen, bad things happen, and you have to learn to deal with it. And it's a really important process, I think, for kids to get through that.
It is, I think, healthy, right? I mean, this stuff happens, right?
So now we have Cheddar and Jack.
I thought you were going to say Cheddar Bob. Cheddar Bob from Eminem 8 Mile.
Which was funny. I thought it's kind of funny that one named it Cheddar, one named it Jack. So we
on
got
their
Cheddar
own?
Jack. Yeah.
Stop it. Yeah. There was collusion there between the two of them. So you're going to tell me the two of them come up with the name separately,
yep.
Cheddar and Jack?
I mean, look at
this. This was
Oreo. Sorry, listeners, you can't see this, but I mean, tell me that's not the cutest little thing.
But I don't want to lose this Cheddar and Jack thing because it's there's no way the two didn't talk about this before. It's like Otani and his interpreter. There's no way that the two of them weren't dealing on things together.
If one of these hamsters steals $4.5 million from the other, I'm getting in on it because I don't know where they're keeping that kind of cheddar.
It's so convoluted, the Shohei Ohtani situation. And I mean, I don't want to come out and just randomly accuse people of things that I 100% lock, stock, guarantee know are absolutely true. But you know, I guess I wouldn't be able to bring any proof in front of a court that Shohei Ohtani has a vicious gambling addiction, but all signs most certainly point to the man who makes millions upon millions and millions of dollars a year and has a bank account, and $4.5 million in wire transfers come out of this man's bank account to an illegal bookmaking operation. For my money, it just stands to reason that the person making the bets probably is the person who has the bank account. Maybe.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking if you've got a bank account and somebody that's not you knows how to get money out of that bank account and then money disappears from that bank. I mean, you can call me a horse and I'll say nope. And then you can call me a horse again and I'll say nope. Call it to me a third time. I might just grab a saddle and let you ride because, you know, you like that?
What?
No, I'm just saying. If it looks like it, it probably is it.
There's so many directions I could go, and I just, the media, and you have to understand, first of all, anybody that doesn't know a ton about sports, Pete Rose, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, and he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Why? Because he was found to be gambling on baseball games.
My brother has his rookie card. You know it's worth a lot of money?
A Pete Rose rookie, yeah. If it's in mint condition, absolutely. He needs to hold on to that.
He's
sucker.
Got some beauties.
We can talk about that off air, yeah. But with Shohei Ohtani, if he is losing $4.5 million, okay, or missing $4.5 million out of his bank account and doesn't even know? I mean, this is what we're expected to be believing based on this story that's been fabricated by who? Probably Major League Baseball, potentially, I don't know. Again, I don't have any proof of Major League Baseball doing this, but Ohtani's handlers, most certainly, because they want to protect his prestigious fame in Japan. Over and above everything else, they don't want his contract to be canceled by the Los Angeles Dodgers, certainly, so Ohtani himself doesn't want this to come out because he might just get fired, right? So there's so many people that want to hide this, but to make it a story that $4.5 million has been wired out, how does his interpreter have access to his bank account, Mitty, do you think?
That part I don't really know. So my wonder here is maybe because he doesn't speak English and he's living here in America and he's putting his money in American banks, maybe he has somebody that has to you know, speak to them for him right there. You know, maybe it's a first-hand person that comes to the bank with them and they have to go through everything he goes through.
Okay, possibly. So I have millions upon millions of dollars in the bank. I have so many millions of dollars in the bank that I'm missing $4.5 million and have no idea that it's gone. That's a pretty decent situation to be in financially in life, I would say. And to trust somebody resolutely to be able to be like, hey, man, yeah, you can have access to my bank accounts, 1,000%. Take whatever you need, or you just have control. Just take a little here or there. Maybe don't take $4.5 million,
though. You know what's really funny about that? If somebody took $100 out of my bank account, I would lose my mind. And if you do the math, $4.5 million is less than 1% of his, not even what he has, just the contract he's on. It's ridiculous.
This interpreter, Mitty, you're talking about the 100. I wonder with an interpreter how much money this guy gets paid. I'm sure he gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? Yeah. To travel around with Ohtani. You're the trusted man. Maybe he even gets paid millions. But
yeah, to say, oh, he says thank you.
He gets a credit line with the bookie, apparently, where he can lose up to $4.5 million. And then, you know, it's going to be paid off. So the bookie who's taking bets from this quote-unquote interpreter is like, well, yeah, we're just going to let you keep going. You're down $2 million, double or nothing. Well, okay, you know, yeah. The bookie is cool with this. The interpreter, how much money does an interpreter get paid per year to the point where a bookie says, yeah, you can have a $4.5 million credit line? The only way that happens is if the bookie knows Ohtani is involved with this, because he's the guy with the cash.
What I don't understand is, gambling, if you really get down to the nitty-gritty, people that are poor gamble way more than people that are not poor.
It's a regressive
and
tax.
It really is. It's awful. Tax. You know, yeah. It keeps poor people poor, and rich people don't need to gamble.
The rich people have these things set up. The government people have these things set up intentionally to take money from the poorer people to keep them dependent upon the state so they vote for them.
But the rich people don't even need the money, and yet for some reason they seem to get in the biggest trouble with it. You know, like, oh, I'm worth millions and millions. Might as well bet millions.
It's not about the money, and that's why a guy like Ohtani, this is how he gets to be so great. He's one of the greatest pitchers of all time. He's one of the greatest hitters of all time, even though he's only been in the major leagues a couple of years. Like, we can see, dude, if he was playing at any time in his career, he'd be smashing home runs. Yeah. Like Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth against Ohtani. If you rewind in history 100 and some years back, Ohtani shows up, dude. He's hitting like 3 home runs for every home run that Babe Ruth hit. He would add 180 in a season.
And he's probably throwing pitches they've never seen.
How does he get that good? He's competitive. It's the same reason Michael Jordan is a sick, addicted gambler, because he's competitive. This is not about the money.
It's in his
with
DNA.
Gambling. It's about winning and hating to lose, people. When you are a vicious competitor, you hate to lose more than you love to win.
Yeah.
Sit and think about that. The fear of loss is greater than the desire for gain. This is, especially in the world of sales, the fear of loss is greater than the desire for gain. We'll be back. Segment 4. I think that was real interesting. Hamsters and Ohtani.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's roll on. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, and htalkradio.com. We did the hamster talk there.
His name is Oreo. Thank you very much.
Sorry. That was disrespectful, Mitty. I agree.
It's understand. Just respect for the dead, you know.
That's all we ask for on the Sports Machine with Slim, is a little bit of respect.
We lift up our hands in the unity of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I prayed on the air yesterday. I said a prayer. I'm going to say it right now. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that something good happens to everybody out there who is listening to the show. I believe that there is a higher power, and that higher power can make good things happen. Don't be greedy and ask like for prayers to win your bets. That's not going to happen. Amen. What I will say is, What happened with P. Diddy yesterday? People don't know. You didn't hear anything about this?
I did not.
So he has a home that was raided by, I believe it's the FBI, and a boathouse that was raided, I believe, by the FBI. He has been, I don't know if he's officially been arrested, actually. Rumor on social media, I don't know if it's true or not, was that his plane, he has a private plane that took off and landed in Antigua, and he apparently is on the verge, as I understand it, but this is rumor, of being arrested. And it's unfortunately a theme that has come about way too often in our society here in the United States, with rich individuals going out and thinking that they can do things. And if you don't know that this is a huge problem in the world, you ain't paying attention.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's something that I have had enough with. And the people that have some morality in this world need to stand up and put a stop to these monsters that are hurting our children.
Agreed.
This is unacceptable. And this isn't radio right now, me talking. This is real me. And the people that just kind of are sitting by, as I have many times in life, just letting this stuff go on, or just like, there's nothing I can do, a defeatist attitude. I need to find some rallying cry for people to stand up together and unify and say, you know, the war is on, dude,
yeah,
against the people that are thinking that this is okay.
People need to understand one very, very important thing. Life is precious.
Well, 100%. That's what it should go should be. But, you know, this country works in a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. I guess we're going to take a break from that as I kind of digest a little bit. Let's go into college
basketball.
Yeah, folks,
if you don't see this, but, I mean, his face was bright red and literally veins sticking out of his forehead. He is very serious.
Well, you know, you look at the movie Sound of Freedom, and it was definitely buried intentionally in what happened here, you know, earlier this last year, when that came out at the movie theaters, and they tried like heck to not let that movie out. You know, that's it, dude. That's where I'm drawing the line on anything. You can do whatever you want with your life. Stay away from the kids.
Take a second just to get your breath.
College basketball. You like UConn to go all the way, Mitty. I'm not stomping on your UConn,
no.
UConn take right
well,
here.
I mean, how can you not? You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, this is radio, and the whole point is to talk about all the scenarios and what could happen. And I just can't seem to get myself off UConn. I mean, you got three pretty good teams right behind them. You know, odds-wise, not so much. But UConn is just, I mean, their guard play. What, they get 38 points out of them? Yes, I think.
Well, that's giving the big guy Klingham is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they got a full team. I will tell you. And right now, they're the overwhelming favorite. Right,
absolutely.
Everybody picks UConn, and anybody watching knows and thinks they're the best. But I will say, Mitty, I'm staying tuned for this game against San Diego State.
Yeah.
San Diego State played them in the finals last year, and no doubt UConn was the better team. Last year, when they played, that's why they won. But I think this year, what I'm seeing out of UConn is their big man, their Klingham, he is the biggest, strongest dude on the court every single game that he plays. Okay, even if he's going against like Creighton center, Cockbrenner, this guy is bigger than him. Klingham is bigger and stronger.
And better coached.
And better coached. Part of a better team, faster team. When they play San Diego State, I'm telling you people, this guy Lede, the big dude for San Diego State, he is much stronger than Klingham. And believe me, he's going to know that.
But he's going to be doubled.
Well, no doubt about it. It's going to be tough. He's going to take a miraculous, Herculean effort on the defense. On the offensive side of things for Lede, because he's not the most talented player. He's just
Correct.
A dog who gets things done.
Right. San Diego State's going to need to shoot from
you
outside. They're going to have to hit probably 45%. From 3+, maybe. I mean, they're going to have to be putting the ball through the hoop with consistency if they're going to beat this UConn.
Yeah, 100%. They're going to need to hit the threes. And I'm finding myself saying 100% now on a regular basis. It's because of Thomas Polk. He says 100% a lot. I do love it.
I got a guy at my work that does that. 100%. Every time I say something he agrees with, he goes, oh, 100%, 100%.
I love it. But
here's to you, Nick.
What I'm going to tell you is San Diego State, at the end of their game against Yale, and I'm trying to look on right now to see the box scores from that game, from 3-point line on the game, 13 for 27. San Diego State against Yale. was 13 for 27.
What's that, about 45%?
It's close to 50, Mitty. Right. Now, I will say Yale's defense, not going to be as good as UConn's. But the point is this. If San Diego State can knock down some threes on the offensive end, the defensive end is where Lede is going to upset the action for UConn. Why? Because when Klingham goes to be setting these high screens, as he does all the time, and he turns and tries to run into or bounce off of Lede, he is going to feel that, man.
Oh, yeah,
and you know what's going to go through his head? Oh, this guy's stronger than me. And that changes the entire game for UConn.
As soon as he doubts himself.
Somebody else is stronger than you.
Yep.
That matters on the basketball court, Mitty.
Well, but so does coaching. And what's going to happen is they're going to put men on him, and they're going to find a way. They're going to free up players, they're going to rotate, they're going to play a motion, and they're going to confuse the hell out of San Diego State, and they're going to win. I mean, they're probably going to have a nice, tough first half, and then San Diego State's going to get tired. And
this
in the second half, you're going to see them pull away, and it's
this is what
happen.
I do, Mitty, is I had a take going into the tournament, UConn's not going to win it all back-to-back. And so what I'm going to do each round, okay, is say, hey, here's how they can lose.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at this and going, San Diego State, I think they could be the team. And if UConn does come out and win, guess what? Next round, I'm going to go, Illinois could be the team, because I do think Illinois is going to take down Iowa State
well,
in this next
that's
round.
Actually a really good tactic, and it's good for radio, because if you're going to defend why they're going to lose every round, you'll be defending that all the way to the championship.
You got it, and that'll become really big in the biggest game of the year. But, no, I mean, in the end, though, down the other side, on the eastern side of the bracket, that's UConn, San Diego State, Illinois, Iowa State. West is who they'd play on their half, okay? North Carolina's in the West, and I am all in on North Carolina. I love them on the offensive side of things. I love them on the defensive side of things. And I saw everything I needed to see against that Michigan State team when Michigan State was rolling, hitting multiple tough shots against UNC and opening up like a 10-point lead. Mm-hmm. They went to commercial. UNC came back and was like, immediately cut the lead to zero, opened up a nice lead. When UNC wants to play, they're winners and they're experienced guys on that team. So if UConn is lucky enough to make it to play UNC, they will run out of luck in a short amount of time.
I have a different take for you, maybe. Because you look at Houston. Houston just, what did they win by? 5 points against...
overtime, right? Against Texas A&M. Texas A&M made the three at the
end
of regulation.
So they're struggling to beat other teams. I mean, they won. So a win is a win. But what do you think about maybe Duke coming out of that bracket and a little bit of UConn-Duke? That's a fabled rivalry and also a very well-coached team with a lot of history.
Duke, my take on them all year is then that they've been soft. I will say against James Madison, that was a point, obviously, that their coach had impressed upon them to play with toughness. Duke played very tough against a much smaller, weaker James Madison team.
But Duke always plays well in March.
Duke is going to run into Houston, and Houston is going to be extremely physical with them, and I think the fake toughness of the Dukies will be exposed. But you could potentially be right. Duke has a lot of talent. I just don't think they're tough enough. Maybe they got tough all of a sudden against James Madison, but I doubt it.
No, you got a few pretty good teams in that division. You know, Purdue's good. Purdue could certainly run away with it. Marquette's definitely a solid team. I mean, you still got a lot of really, really strong teams.
It's
going to be some good basketball.
Listen, dude, I'm telling you right now, I look at every single team that's left in the Sweet 16. I would not be surprised if any of them went to the Final Four and went to the final game.
Yep.
Houston, Duke, NC State is my pick to go to the finals. I have NC State going to play North Carolina right now. I'm in on North Carolina State. I think they got something special.
I don't
disagree.
Their
girls team crushed yesterday, too. So good.
That 11 seed is kind of a joke. And they are playing very, very, very good basketball when it matters the most.
That's it. Exactly. I've seen, and I think they have camaraderie going on. And they almost lost to Oakland, yes. But guess what? Oakland was on fire. That team was playing out of their mind and making tough shots. I look at the games and say, hey, sometimes you win because you're much better. Sometimes you win because it's an adjustment or there's a matchup thing. And sometimes you don't win just because the other team was better than you. In the end, I thought NC State played a good game. I thought Oakland played a great game, but NC State still won.
But it's all about the matchup. You know, there are teams that are good enough to beat a number one seed but not beat a 10 seed just because they match up different. So I guess we're going to see. But I think NC State Marquette, is that tonight?
No, that's coming up this weekend. No, Thursday, Friday, the next round of games, Mitty. But I love you getting excited here.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's going to be great.
That's the end of the show for today. Can you believe how fast that went by?
Yeah, I had like a ton of things I still wanted to say, but that's all right. We'll see you next week.
The Sports Machine with Slim and Mitty on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com.
Rest in peace, Oreo.
Amen.